Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. Hey guys, I've got a really interesting show today. We're going to be talking about face reading. Now, everybody has a face, and every face can be read, and you will be amazed, just completely amazed, with what your face reveals, not only about you physically, but mentally, emotionally, and you can even figure out your right mate by looking at their face. So take good note on this one, okay? And we're going to be speaking with Jennifer LaMonica, and she is the author of The Art and Science of Face Reading, Face Morphology in the Western Spiritual Tradition. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. But you know, I always ask the question, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners. Intuitive since birth, I'm a third generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Money Book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. Now, my clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask, Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, and that's MoniqueChapman.com, and I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. The face is a unique reflection of our genetic inherited inclinations as well as the effects that life, nature, and relationships have had upon us. By looking at a person's face, you can gain valuable insight into their personality, health, and how they navigate in the world. My guest today, Jennifer LaMonica, is a doctor of chiropractic, licensed acupuncturist, certified nutritionist, certified image therapist, and face morphologist in the Western spiritual tradition. She is also a certified medical technologist and has taught at the New York Chiropractic College at the New York College of Traditional Chinese Medicine and for the New York State Chiropractic Association. She's been in private practice since 1984, and she lives in Mineola, New York. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you, Monique. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I am so excited. I mean, I absolutely love the book. I was reading through it. When I got the review on it, I was like, okay, so a book about face reading and, you know, telling people's fortunes. But no, your book goes down to the kernel of the person, if you will, by looking at their face. And there's so much information revealed in that face. How were you first exposed to this information?
Well, it turned out that I have a colleague of mine who's having marital difficulties, and so he sought out the advice of a psychiatrist, Dr. Gerald Epstein, and he became a mentor of mine. And when I was invited to go to a class that this man wanted to have, he was a chiropractor, the guy that was seeking out the therapy, and he brought his wife there, and the doctor looked at them and started to reveal to them their inner personalities and what was going on with them, and said that they actually came in with these traits. And once they saw that, they became very compassionate and forgiving of the things that they had been nagging them all along. Mm-hmm. So when my friend said, I want to learn this and share it with my patients, the doctor graciously created a class of which I was invited. And I went to that class, and my mind was blown because there was so much information in such a short period of time. So he said, okay, now that you've learned this stuff, go out and use it. So I did. And when I 7 years elapsed after I had been using it, I called him up and said, now what do I do? And he said, come back and learn more. And it's exactly what I did. So it's a sort of a tapestry of learning that he was teaching, because it included mental imagery and dreams. However, this face morphology I sort of had a little knack for. I remember always remembering that if I met somebody in the past and then I remembered what their face looked like, I could somewhat attribute the personality traits to another person that I met, and very often I was accurate. I mean, I would ask them, you know, mm-hmm. is this true, is that true? And they would say yes. So it was like a match for me. And mm-hmm. Unfortunately, my mentor passed away this past February.
Aww.
But before that, he had asked me to write the book, and mm-hmm. he called me a morphologist, and I didn't realize that was a significant designation, because when another person in the class had said, well, you're my teacher, and he said, well, you never asked, you know, there was some sort mm-hmm. of formality in the designation. And so I took it seriously, and I went and peeled over 35 years of notes and took out little pearls of information one at a time and created it as a labor of love, and finally birthed the book. And I'm happy to report that colleagues of mine who were studying are so impressed with the book. So that's like my biggest claim to fame right now, is that you know, when you get somebody who does the same thing and then they say, hey, that's really great. So I'm excited.
Yeah. When you're acknowledged by your peers for what you
yes.
do, that's truly,
yes.
you know, great, absolutely
yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful. And I know that your mentor who passed away recently would be very proud of this body of work that you have put
Thank
out.
You.
Now, reading the book, The Art and Science of Face Reading, could one, if they pick up the book and they start to read it, could they literally sit down and look at themselves or others in their lives and actually get the process, learn the process?
Yes, they can. And, you know, as part of this podcast, I'd like to invite them to go to a website. I made up a checklist that I think will help them to kind of go through things in a way that will give them an opportunity to see about themselves or their loved ones. So I call mm-hmm. it self-discovery through face reading. And if I could, it would be Dr.
LaMonica. Oh, please. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What is it?
So it's drlamonica.com/checklist. So it's kind of like a gift for listening, you know.
Okay.
And so basically, you know, it's very detailed, but the wonderful thing about it is that there's this word that I learned from Jerry, which is called glyph. So when you look at a person and you see their face, something is going to stick out at you, or it's going to come and, you know, pay attention. Oh, that person has, a big face and little receptors, or that person has a big forehead, or they have a forward chin. You know, there are certain things that you will see on the face that will give you an idea about what's going on internally. And all of those ways that the face has been revealed will color the way that a person looks at life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I believe that the soul is eternal, and I believe that the soul comes and chooses its parents so that it can get the face, because the face now becomes the DNA template of all their inclinations internally and externally, and how they interface with the world changes the face. And in the book, we talk about what's called the law of reciprocity.
Mm-hmm.
So what is impregnated upon a person, it goes on the face, and then it happens on the inside. And what happens on the inside is then revealed through the face. So you change your life as you go along based on what's going on. A very simple example I like to give is, let's imagine you're at a person's home or office and you see a pen and you want to grab it. And then all of a sudden you say, hey, I'm not allowed to steal. That's not so good.
Mm-hmm.
So now what you've done is you've made a correction of the inclination.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, many of these inclinations can be read in the face. And it's all about balance. So we look at the face in two ways. We look at it for measure, you know, which we're not actually getting too deeply into the lines here as they do in the French. The French really mm-hmm. actually measure things with a ruler, and then they see all the different things. But you're looking mm-hmm. at proportion and measure, and you're looking at rhythm and pace. And you want to help the person to create a balance in those two areas of life. So if you see something that's out of balance in the face, you can actually construct an imagery exercise. And in the book, there are certain things to tell you how to do this. And you can make a correction, because it takes about 21 days to change a habit. So mm-hmm. you can do this imagery exercise 3 times a day for 21 days and actually change something. So it becomes not only a way of life, but it becomes a spiritual path to kind of enlighten yourself about who you are, what your inclinations are, and move forward from there.
Okay, so you said it takes about 21 days to change it if you do 3 times a day. Now, is that literally going to change how your face physically looks to others and to yourself?
It can. You know, the thing that doesn't change is the temperament. So mm-hmm. I don't know how much you remember about the book, but when you look at the temperament, it's from the side of the face.
Mm-hmm.
And the temperament is going to tell the actual physiognomy of the body, because this is based on embryology. So if a person has a very, you know, angular jaw and it comes to 90 degrees, that's called a sanguine. And if a person has the jawline coming two-thirds of the way down, that's called bilious. And if the jawline goes from the ear straight to the chin, that's a nervous. And if the person doesn't have a chin because of the flesh, that's a lymphatic. So those four characteristics are what you're born with. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is that the front face shape and the front face features are going to be modifiers of all of that. So what you may see in the change in 21 days is that a person might have a tension perhaps around their lips, or a tension around their nose or on their eyes, or wrinkles or certain things. Those will literally change. But mm-hmm. when the person undergoes a real spiritual dynamism, the face can literally change, and I've seen it. As a matter of fact, I take care of a couple of people who are actresses and so forth, and they want mm-hmm. their presentation of their visage to be a certain way. And so they'll come in and you know, they won't wear makeup, and they take their glasses off, and they say, okay, what's going on? And I'll just read it and then give them some both physical and mental exercises to do. And sometimes within the first visit that they come in, they can see the shift and change.
Okay. Now, you spoke about the four temperaments of the profile. What about the forehead and the nose in temperament?
So basically, the slant of the forehead is what determines and helps you to do the temperament. Like, for instance, a sanguine person is going to have a sloped back forehead, and they'll also have what's called an aquiline nose, while a lymphatic person is going to have a straight forehead, a double chin, and a bilious tip, like sort of like a roundish kind of nose.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the all of these in context, it just helps you establish what the temperament is. But in and of itself, the nose is going to be a revealer. In and of itself, the forehead is going to be a revealer. Like, for instance, if you see a person with a very large forehead, mm-hmm. that's a sign of intelligence and a visionary, someone who could see the world. And like, if you look at, believe it or not, Winston Churchill has that uh-huh. very large, you know. And they're just, it is just an amazing way to see things. Like, for instance, if you see a forehead that has a lot of wrinkles, or you know that this person has been concentrating or mm-hmm. putting, you know, using their mind a lot. If you see a person with a very flat forehead, it could be that they're not impressioned that easy.
Okay.
And another, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
Yeah. Another thing that I think is a very wonderful, easy thing to look at is there's something called the big face and the little face. So what that means is the amount of flesh that you have around your face in the entire circumference of the face compared to the space that the receptors take up. The receptors would be considered the eyes, the nose, mm-hmm. and the mouth, right? So mm-hmm. if the receptors are very large, that person takes in a lot of sensory information. If the receptors are very small, it's very hard. Like, for instance, I remember once when a mother came in and she said to me, I can't get through to this kid. And I looked at her and I said, it's going to be quite difficult because he had the tiniest little receptors and a really big outer face, big mm-hmm. face. And I said, you would have to make other ways to get his attention, speak loudly or physically touch him to get him to pay attention, because he's filtering everything all the time. He's not even taking in a lot of the sensory mm-hmm. information. And when you're communicating to people and you have a person that's the opposite, let's say, that have very large receptors, this is not a person you want to shock. This is not a person you want to yell at or speak loudly to, because they're going to be overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And I give them an exercise generally, like if you're feeling like you're in the subway or in a situation where there's too much noise, clasp your thumbs into your fists and close them, and that'll close down a lot of the sensory input.
Okay.
You know, even scrunch your face a little bit and mm-hmm. purse your lips, you know, tighten mm-hmm. your lips.
I chuckle because the first thing that came to mind, and I heard this on TV, and I'm going to say a bad word, but it's almost like you clench your thumbs into your fist and you move your face, but it's almost like a resting bitch face, you know, like I'm taking no prisoners.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And you see how we know that. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, like we intuitively know that. I mean, now they're doing face mapping and face recognition in the brain. We absolutely know that. Like the first time a child sees its parent, it yokes itself to that parent. There's an absolute place of peace for the, mm-hmm. for the child, knowing that that parent is there for them. And it's, I mean, of course everybody has their circumstances, but what I'm saying is that this is a biological, physical response to faces. It's there all the time. As a matter of fact, there's like 613 references to the face in the Bible alone.
Wow.
It's, yeah, yeah. It's quite incredible. Yeah.
Well, folks, we're speaking with Dr. Jennifer LaMonica. She is the author of The Art and Science of Face Readings. It's available on Amazon, possibly from her website even. But she's put out a special offer to us. If you go to drlamonica.com/checklist, there's going to be a list there, and you just check it off and you'll be revealed with some wonderful information about yourself. So do check it out, because it's going to be fun and you're going to get a lot of information about yourself. Now, Jennifer, I have to ask this question, and I know you might have been asked it before, but we have a person that sits in the White House right now that's supposed to be the president. What do you see in his face? I mean, when you look at the interesting things that he does, is he a person that would have the small features but a lot of skin?
Yes. His face is a face of power.
Really?
So, yeah. Yeah. When
wow.
you it is. It is. And so, and when you look at the jawline and his features and his face, he has that would be one of the major things, and I think that's how he got elected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's very difficult to comment on that without having a little bit of upset. But this is a man.
Honey, I'm all about upset. You can just speak whatever you're. You know, I truly believe whatever you speak is your truth, and other people don't have to adapt it as their truth, because that's how I am. I put it out there, and you can take it or you can leave it. I don't give a you know what. When we're looking, because it hurts me, I mean, it literally pains me to look at this person and forget who he is, even before, you know, he reached this status, I would see this person, you know, in the news and wherever, and I would cringe. And I didn't know what it was. And then I actually heard a lady maybe a couple of years ago on TV, and they were just interviewing her, and she says, I can't stand his face. And I'm like, that's it. The face bothers me.
Right.
And I didn't know what it was within the face that bothered me.
Well, this, you know, the whole idea of face morphology is to have compassion, even though this is most difficult. But the thing is that he has a path in his life, and his path is about accumulating power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's written in every single part of his face, and there's just a couple of things inside his face that show us that not to be trusting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most unfortunate thing. But I hate to use this for disparagement, because one of the things that was most revealing for me about this morphology is to understand that everybody comes in, has their own relationship with God, has their own relationship with their faith, has their own relationship with their families, and they're there for whatever reason. I don't know what your audience subscribes to, but I do believe that lives are continuous and that we have them over and over and over again, and I do believe that we have to experience everything.
Okay, so when we have... delving into what you just said, which I'm totally on board with, and the face reading, when we come back, of course, we probably choose different parents, although sometimes I believe we still incarnate to the same family. Do you think that the face would change much based on the lessons that the soul agreed to learn before incarnating?
You got it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, I mean, in the Judaic tradition, which a lot of this was rooted is there's a belief that the incarnations come only within the family.
Mm-hmm.
And people will say that they absolutely look like their grandmother or their great-grandfather or something like that, and you could see that those familial inclinations are there, because in Deuteronomy it says that we carry the errors of the ancestors to the fourth generation. But every little correction that we make will change it. So the faces are going to change, and each person brings forth what that familial line is to teach.
Okay.
You see, so you made an agreement, let's say, to take care of your mother, your grandmother, your great-grandmother's errors. Okay? Mm-hmm. And as you live and walk in this world, your face is going to reflect all of the things, the attributes, the inclinations, the positivity, the negativity that was carried in that line. And mm-hmm. I really believe this. I mean, this is just something I can't prove, but I really believe that the ancestors are sitting up there rooting for us to make the correction for their freedom, because as mm-hmm. we elevate, they elevate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an extraordinary mechanism for humanity. See, so yes,
yeah, it is. I mean, it's amazing. I hadn't really quite thought about it in this way, but it's amazing how the healing that we can give ourselves, you know, with our faith and then with others. It's just amazing how it crosses through generations and going back through time.
Yes. Yes.
It's quite fascinating. Now, in the book, you talk about the four square, F-O-U-R square, and
yes.
then you also talk about the number four.
Right.
So explain to the audience what that is.
So the four square, it was written by one of the earlier, Gerald Ancas, who is one of the earlier morphologists from, you know, ancient times. And mm-hmm. what it does is it contains a lot of the information symbolically in the form of letters and images to show us what each of the temperaments have as personalities and as inclinations. Like, for instance, it'll also show, like, what is the predominant element that they need. When you look at the nervous, they have carbon first because they need the CO2. When you look at the bilious, you'll see they have oxygen first because they need oxygenation. So how does that relate, okay? So in the bilious, they really need or are long-distance runners. They need aerobic exercise. With mm-hmm. the nervous, you'll see that they do very well with short bursts of exercises because they can't let go of that much CO2 in the exhalation. And when you look at the sanguine, they need nitrogen. So we always say to a sanguine patient, you need to eat meat. Like, you know, a lot of people don't want to eat meat for whatever their emotional, spiritual, or health concerns are. But I'll tell you a story. I had a patient once who came to me. He was so sick. He was such a young man, and he was so sick, and I read his face, and he was a sanguine. And I said to him, do you eat any meat? And he said, no, I'm a vegetarian. But meanwhile, he was absolutely having lack of a failure to thrive, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I said to him, I know this is going to sound strange, but I want you to go home and eat a steak. He ate mm-hmm. the steak. He called me up. He goes, I don't believe it. He says, I feel so well
mm-hmm.
because he was missing the nitrogen in the blood and the methionine that was so necessary for his type. You see, in the book, when you look at this, you'll see that the nutritional needs of certain are different. Now, a lymphatic, whom I didn't mention yet, they can eat anything and they tend to get portly, and the, you know, it's not a problem. They can digest everything. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I'm a large woman, and the when I met Dr. Gerald Epstein, this is how I remember how compassionate this system was. He looked at my belly and he goes, "Nice library."
Oh, wonderful. I love it.
Because lymphatics, you know, they absorb everything. They take in food, but they also take in large amounts of information, and they have almost mm-hmm. an elephantine memory. So it was like one of the first times I ever had anybody compliment me for my fat, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's like, well, thank you, I own that.
Exactly. But
it's refreshing to know that our shape, sizes, and who we are on maybe not the level that people are physically looking at us, but it truly does mean something. There's a meaning there. We're just not a certain way for no reason whatsoever.
Yes, it's so true, and the mm-hmm. face does reveal that. So getting back a little bit to the number four,
mm-hmm.
number four is very interesting in this reading, because when you look at numerology, number four means construction, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so there's there are four rivers in Israel that is supposedly stemming from, Israel is considered to be the heart of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So the four rivers are sent to be the tributaries of all the humanity that's coming out of that. And then we have the four apostles, which represent the different archangels, which are part of the temperaments and represent the different ways that we all see things. This stuff just blows my mind. I mean, it's like everything has a meaning and a purpose and an
idea. Connection. Yeah.
Yes.
Fascinating. But let me ask a question. You talked
sure.
about the different, you know, temperaments and, you know, the different shapes and all of that. How does race and or nationality play into that? Because, you know, I'm a black woman and,
uh-huh.
you know, I've got a broad nose. I've got big lips. You know, most black people have broad noses and, you know, big lips. So how does that play into the face reading overall? Is it that a certain nationality comes in with a propensity for something?
So basically, this was written in a Caucasian community.
Mm-hmm.
So that the original feature assessment was read there, just like Chinese medicine was read, you know, on the
mm-hmm.
Chinese people. But you could do acupuncture on anybody. You could
mm-hmm.
do morphology on anybody. So I've been practicing for over 35 years. It's going to be 36 in January. And mm-hmm. I have had no problem assessing any person's face. There are considerations that we take. Now, what are the race adaptations? I can't speak to it. I think that only God created that. I remember originally studying, I was a biochemist, and I studied ontology recapitulates phylogeny, which means that if you are in a certain environment, you know, and you need your skin to be darker because of the sun,
mm-hmm.
so be it. If you're in a particular environment and you need your skin to be lighter because of the snow, so be it. And I think all of these race adaptations are interesting to read, but you can read the face. There is so much there to read. Like, for instance, I would not be considering the lips of a person who's black because that's their nature.
Okay.
And that's okay. Just like I wouldn't be considering the eye shape on a person who's Asian, even though it's an adaptation, because that's their nature. So
mm-hmm.
what I do is I read the other things, and there are so many other things to read.
Yeah.
Is that sufficient?
Yes. Yeah, no, great answer. So thank you very much. Now, you just mentioned eye shape. Talk to us about the different eye shapes and their meaning, and then eye color. I was really fascinated by the
yes.
information on eye color.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So basically, there are three kinds of shapes. There's more, but there's three. So there's that round shape, there's an almond shape, and there's a crescent shape. Mm-hmm. And you'll see that a lot of the people who have the crescent shape, when they smile, it actually looks like a crescent moon, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's called the Venus eye. And that's the eye where when a person has that, they're very interested in everybody being happy. They want the world to get along. And you'll notice that a lot of them are actresses because they love that attention and they love that this sort of, it goes along with the Venus face, which is considered to be the most beautiful of the women, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Men
okay.
have that also. I was just watching a country music show, and I saw Kris Kristofferson had that eye, and I said, oh, look at that, he's got a Venus eye, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the round shape is a little bit more cautious, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the almond shape is supposed to speak to intelligence. But interestingly enough, if you have a combination of the two different kinds of eyes, you can see that the person in is very intuitive, and you might be able to notice that if a person has an almond-shaped eye on the left and a round-shaped eye on the right, that could speak to like a psychic nature almost, you know, that type of intuition.
Well, girl, I'm looking in the mirror right now to see.
Yeah, because you come from a long line, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
They're both looking kind of almond to me, but
yeah.
You know, and that's another thing. When I was reading the book, and then I'd get the mirror out and I'd look and I'd try to figure out how do you figure out what you are? I still don't know if my face is oval or square or triangle or whatever. How do you figure that out?
Well, you're going to look at the how about I pull up a picture of you and I'll tell you.
Okay. Be kind. And while you can go to my website because there's plenty of pictures there. But while we're going there, did we talk about eye color? I know we got the shape. Did we get the colors in?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, the colors, they're all variations of colors. And it also relates to the place where the people live. So, you know, the brown eyes are the soulful, deep eyes, and then you have the blue eyes, which can be a little cooler in their nature.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then you have the ice blue eyes, which are the Mars eyes, which are fighters. Just not to mention again, but the man who's in office is a Mars. He's a battler.
Okay.
I look at your face, you look like a sun. You look like an oval shape.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I kind of thought, but you know.
Yeah. Yes.
Wishing and having something being actual can be two different things.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't read your face without your permission, mm-hmm. but you have a beautiful face. God bless you.
Well, you know, if you say kind things, not the negative, because I don't want, you know, everybody out there in the world to know everything about me. If there's a couple of things that you could say that would help the audience with
reading.
Furthering their reading of their own face, fine.
Okay. So when you look at Monique's face, her forehead is wide and broad. It's almost Jupiterian, showing that she's a visionary, and also showing that Monique is highly intellective. And then there's a beautifully large emotional zone, means that there's great feeling. And we have a moderately, what do they call that, concrete zone. So you're not too interested in the mechanisms of the world. I mean, that doesn't really light your light.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And, right. You have a big emotional zone, so there's lots of feeling and lots of heart and lots going on. And if I just say one thing a little bit,
uh-huh.
Believe it or not, you could be timid in certain situations.
Oh, extreme. People don't believe it. I am, like, totally shy. And people are like, no, you're not. And I'm like, yes, I am. They don't get it, you know.
Yeah.
But you're in the life of the party. Yes, but I'm shy.
Understood. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, folks, you can, like, look at a picture of me just about any place. I actually went to my website to see if I could find it, and I can't. But, oh, well, on the first page, if you go to the home and you go down to a message from Monique, you'll see a picture of me in one of my mini hair colors. Because on that, I can't make up my mind.
And it's interesting, now that you've read the book, you should notice for yourself, when your hair is dyed lighter, do you feel different?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. much. Yeah. And I want to, and it's interesting because I want to keep it lighter most of the time. Although a couple of weeks ago I did purple.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and purple is kind of like my favorite color. I'm sitting in my deep purple office, and when I put the purple on, you know, I was like, oh, this is different. And I'm not quite sure if I want to keep it, but, you know, different.
Right, and that speaks to the morphology because the colors that we wear, the way that we wear our eyes and our, you know, even the eye makeup and that, the color of the hair, that all changes things. And people actually, I mean, I had this one gal who had a very, very long canine teeth. And if you read in the book, the canine teeth actually are like gobbling up the opposite sex. So she used to go through boyfriends like they were candy. And she said to me, you know, always when I have a new patient, I ask them, what would you want from me? And then I get their answer, and then I ask them permission to read the face. And very often, I have rarely had anybody say no. But and then this woman had such long canines, I said to her, she goes, I want to get married. I said, well, go shave the canines. And she did. She went to the orthodontist. She's still married now. And it
Wow.
Worked. Yeah. 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 It's just extraordinary what we can do by changing the face.
It's truly amazing. Now, okay, so you talk about changing the face. So I go down to, because Mac's my favorite makeup store, and I have them sculpt me out and all of that. That's going to change how I, first of all, literally perceive myself, at least facially.
Absolutely.
And is that going to change how other people perceive me also, even though
For
underneath
sure.
all of that, I'm still who I am?
Yes. It'll change who you are. It'll change how people perceive you. And there are people that, you know, sometimes you look at people and you say, how the heck did they get together?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But there is a something inside the face that gets revealed to you, to the person that this is someone that'll fit with me. I have my own idea about this because I love geometry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there are certain shapes that literally interact with other shapes subconsciously. You know, when someone looks at the face shape, they kind of get a sense about whether or not that face shape is going to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I really believe that the face shape is almost like a lock and key to open up different portals of energy for people in the world.
Mm-hmm. So that
like
feels
we didn't,
real right to me. Go ahead.
Yeah. Like when you were reading the book, you see there were 12 different front face shapes.
Uh-huh.
And each of those front face shapes are labeled for planets, not like this is astrology, but they're labeled for planets. And each shape of the face has its own meaning whatsoever. Like you could look at a person's face, and you don't even have to look at a feature. You could just do the temperament. You could do the front face. You could do the zones of the face. What I mean by the zones of the face is like when I said you have a big, beautiful forehead, that is a sign of intellectuality and also a visionary. And, I mean, just that's what's so that was so interesting to me. I'm doing it on my iPad, and it just went away. I wanted to look again.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll give her a moment to find me yet again.
There we go. There you go. So, you know, you have a very, you have exotic eyes. And
yeah. Well, that's gotten me into trouble a time or 10.
I was just going to say that.
But you know what? It's also, and this has been lifelong for me. I was born and raised in Albany. Well, I was born in Albany Hospital, raised in Gilderland, New York, outside of Albany, very upscale bedroom community, and 99.99999% white. And as I was going to school there, people would question my ethnicity. They would say, "You're not black," and I said, "Why? Because look at those eyes." And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm just like a kid bumbling through school, trying to, you know, get through the school like everybody else. But
right.
it was just amazing to me. And then on job interviews, when I was younger, and again, this is in the 70s and early 80s even, people would, again, question, you know, where did I come from? Where's my family from? Because I didn't fit, for what they said, a typical box. And I was
right.
like, wow,
right.
do I really look that weird? But it is
right.
who I am.
Well, you don't know what the derivations of your family are. I mean, you could have had Ethiopian influence in there, and, you know, I mean, it's, but the point of the matter is that it does, we can't stereotype anybody, and that's what I love about this, is the compassion.
Mm-hmm.
We're not supposed to stereotype, and we're not supposed to just read people without their permission. Because there have been times in life where people have enslaved other people based on their morphology.
Mm.
You know, I mean, the blacks weren't the only ones that were enslaved, but the Egyptians enslaved the Hebrews, and they used to breed the ones that would be the stronger workers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by knowing that they could get the sanguines, they would breed them so that they could find more males that would be able to build their buildings and carry those heavy stones.
Mm.
You know, it's not good to use that information to overpower anyone else.
Yeah, well, there's a word called karma, and she can be a bee lady.
That's right. You know? That's right.
She really can. Now, how does working with this system help you find more compassion for yourself? Because, you know, everybody's judgmental about themselves and sometimes about other people. So how can you truly take a look in the mirror and look at your face and say, okay, there's no judgment, and then go further down from the face down to the toes and have no judgment about whatever exists within that space?
Well, what if I could allow that to happen for everybody by reading this book? That would be the miracle and so much of the joy in my heart, because for myself, it's taken years for me to accept who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to be, I just turned 66 years old, so, you know, there's a there's definitely a learning curve.
Mm-hmm. I'm right there with you. I'm a year older, so I get it.
Oh, there you go. So, you know, it's about really just looking at every single aspect of your face. But the example I wanted to give is this one person came to me, and she had a very large nose, okay? And she wanted to do plastic surgery. And I said to her, oh, my God, don't. That nose is beautiful. It's so intelligent. And if you cut out that bump, it's going to not allow you to pierce the world. Once I had the information about what that was, I actually looked at people differently.
Mm.
You see, if you know the value, and, you know, what we're taught to look at is what's considered cosmetically beautiful by the television, by the magazines, by the standards and ideals of the man-made world. But if we truly understood what God had in store for us with those beautiful faces and the way that they are, I see faces now that one would consider, I don't know, maybe ugly or something, and I think they're magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can see the qualities within.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, it's interesting because when you brought that up, what came to my mind is Leslie Jones, and a lot of people find her unattractive. I think she's a very attractive woman. She was a comedian on SNL, for you guys who don't know. And she was really shamed horribly because of the way she looks. And she had this, like, banging body, and, you know, she's got great eyes and wonderful lips and a nice nose. And people who weren't necessarily used to how she looked would say, oh no, that's you know, they would say negative things. And she was able to overcome that because she was like, you know, this is me, and I'm glad that she had the strength to do that. And hopefully we as a world society can get to the point where when we see someone, we are truly just looking at them. You know, not judging a particular aspect of them, but just seeing the overall person.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
That would be wonderful. Now, one more thing before we go and we talk about your website. Okay, eyebrows.
Oh, man.
I shave mine, and then I have
you
to draw them back on. And then sometimes they're even, sometimes they're cockeyed, whatever. So talk to us about eyebrows.
Well, the eyebrows speak volumes. I mean, you really, the normal cast of an eyebrow is that the medial aspect, which is closest to the nose, should go up at an angle, and then it should come across in a mild, gentle curve, and then go down. And it shouldn't exceed the orbit too much. But if you look in the book, there's pictures of eyebrows, and every single thing tells you something. like, I hate to reveal this, but I have a stubborn eyebrow. My eyebrow kind of goes straight across.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not terribly straight, but straight across. And I do have a stubborn nature. I mean, it's actually what got me through life, so to speak. But,
yeah.
But you know, but it's the eyebrows are so amazing. Like, if you have an eyebrow tail that goes really low into the face, that could mean self-centeredness, right?
Interesting.
And, yeah, and if you have an eyebrow that goes up in the you know, towards the nose, that can show insecurity. And also, when you have an eyebrow that's stacked in the middle, it shows that they have a lot on their mind. So the eyebrows, in and of itself, are balanced when they go from down to up, straight across, and then down again. And, you know, there are pictures of the typical eyebrow or the normal eyebrow. And that kind of cosmetic can actually make a change in a person's life. You know, you could see if there's anything about the eyebrow for you that, you know, I didn't know that you shaved your eyebrows. I have to look at the picture again.
Yeah.
You just color that in, or you grew? Wow, good job.
Thank you.
You did a good job. The higher the distance from the eyeball to the top of the eyebrow shows cleverness. Like, I had this one patient come, and her eyebrows were so high, and I could tell within seconds of talking to her how clever she was. And I said, you know, you're very clever. And she says, oh, I've been told that all my life. But it's so amazing how this stuff means stuff.
Yes, it is. I mean, and folks, you know, do go get the book if you're interested in yourself, you know, family members, relationships, especially, you know, the single ladies and single men out there, and you want to see, you know, where this is going to go, like date one, and you learned how to read faces. Guess what? You're golden. Okay, you've got
exactly.
So much more information. Now, don't forget, get to know the person. And, you know, get to know the whole. But if you are, you know, seeing one thing, your eyes are not going to deceive you. And if you pay attention to your intuition, it's definitely going to help you make your assessment. Notice I didn't say judgment, but your assessment about whether this is positive or negative for you. So, Jennifer, when we go to DrLaMonica.com, and that's DrLaMonica.com. What are we going to find there? I know, folks, on the first page, if you scroll down, you'll see a replica of the four square, and you know, you can definitely check that out, and you can also sign up for email. But what are we going to find there when we go to your website?
Well, you'll find out about me, and you'll also see opportunities, because people have, over the years, sent me pictures of their faces, front, side, and back, and I've done consultations by reading the face for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, you could do that. You can set up an appointment for the office, or if you'd like to come in, if you're local or not. And you just find out a little bit more about me. You know, it's
okay,
I find it interesting.
It is very interesting, and you don't have to come in. You can actually do this with photographs, if you will.
Correct.
Okay. Now, besides the face reading, you're a chiropractic doctor, so are you still doing the acupuncture and the chiropractor
I am.
Work?
I am, yes. Okay. Very often, if a person is referred, which is the way that my practice has grown, they'll come in and, you know, they'll come in with a complaint, or they'll come in with a symptom or an illness, and I will, you know, do an assessment and then determine through the assessment what's necessary. But most people are evaluated morphologically, they're evaluated chiropractically, they're evaluated through the acupuncture pulses, and then we go from there. I have had great experience with diagnosis for some reason. I think it's even in my family, because my mother raised us with the Merck manual, and you know, we have a lot of medical expertise in our family. So for some reason, people have, you know, oh, no one can find it out, send it to LaMonica, you know, and there, before the grace of God, I've helped people to understand about their bodies, about their minds, and made appropriate referrals or helped them, you know, with the work that I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, keep doing the good work that you do, okay,
thank you
because
so much.
It's very much needed. Again, folks, we've been speaking with Dr. Jennifer LaMonica.
The book is The Art and Science of Face Reading. It's available on Amazon. Just go get it. Do yourself a favor. Get the book. It's an easy read. It's not scientific-y at all. It's very easy to understand. The illustrations are very clear. So you can get the information. And even if you get stuck and you can't figure out, you know, what a face shape is or whatever, on page 84 and 85, she details a lot of famous people in their face shapes, like Woody Allen is a short Mercury. And if you read the book, you'll know what Mercury is and you'll figure out what long and short is. So you've got a lot of information presented here in an easy-to-read manner that will definitely help you, and it will help you actually help others. So please take a look. Okay, and don't forget about her special offer. If you go to drlamonica.com/checklist, you'll find some fun information there that you can participate in and learn. Okay, so Jennifer, thank you so much for being with me today. I truly appreciate it.
Absolutely.
It's been so much fun.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It was really wonderful.
Well, you're welcome. And thank you to the audience for being with us today as we collectively get over it and learn to read our face. The divine in me honors the divine in you. I'm truly honored, and I do appreciate your time and attention. And when you're ready to raise your vibration and shift your energy, call me for an intuitive consultation. Consultations 30 minutes or longer are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself and make that call. 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of learning to read a face. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.